All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Give Us a Spell podcast. My name is Zach, and this episode we're going to be talking all things Melbourne racing like we do each week. Look, we probably don't want to talk too much from Cox Plate Day because that was quite humbling. It was one of the worst days I think I've had on the punt. Everyone I sort of knew didn't win, and I think I've read a few articles where it was just one of the top 5 days for bookies, so that was really tough. There were a couple of standouts, but yeah, it was pretty bloody brutal. If you don't follow us along, give us a spell pod, Instagram. Nick's obviously on the show each week. You can follow him and Mitch on Punters Dribble as well. But we may as well get Nick on. Let's recap some of the shocking day Saturday was, mate. How are you?
Well, I actually get a bit anxious about thinking about Saturday, to be honest, mate. But yeah, not too bad now.
Well, at least a little bit. I did ask you on Friday to give me a quick video on who's going to win the Manicato, and you gave Jonker a good push. And mate, Jonker was good.
Too good. It was sort of led, and I think, what did I say in the video?
Straight to the front. So, do your thing.
That's exactly what it did.
You couldn't be more correct. I think you had a fat day, Moonee Valley at least.
Yeah,
Friday night
was elite. Friday night was alright, and then gave it all back on the Saturday. So it's alright if you're playing with their money, I guess.
Isn't it just like we said? Like I think 2 Saturdays ago, like I had a fantastic Everest day. I think I just was walking around like Vince McMahon, and then come the following Saturday, and I go none from nine in my tips. I'm sometimes not even getting bonus bets back from my bets. I think you forgot. I'm not going to say that really counts. I think
it doesn't even count.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It was a fantastic, fantastic ride, trust me. But look, weird day.
I think Cox Plate Day, I don't recall it ever being, because it's the week before Derby Day as well. A lot of the good horses are getting saved for that. So you sort of got these all right group two races and then not that good of horses running around. It can be hard to pick the form, and I'm probably just making excuses for fucking shit tipping, but
mate, that's how we do it. Absolutely. You have a good win, you bask in it. You have a bad day, you find excuses. It's how it works in this game.
100%, mate,
100%. When we think about the day though, so I want to just talk about, we'll just go straight to the Cox Plate. Were you in the yes camp for the protest getting upheld?
Nah, so my housemate actually backed Animo, and he said that'll be upheld, that has to be upheld, and I must have been one of the only people on the planet that thought it would be dismissed, because, I don't know, I still thought that he had his chance to go past Say to Rest and didn't, like, and realistically, it wasn't that big of a bump. I understand, like, a bump's a bump, but it would have taken a very brave steward to overturn the Cox Plate.
Well, they did it in the Cup, though, remember? Once, they buggered up a bunch of people's trifectas. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, it's Cox Plate. Are they really going to want to do this?
Yeah, I don't know. To me, another 50 metres, Data Rest would have gone a little bit further in front. That's the way it looked like to me. So,
yeah.
What do you think?
I thought I was with you, to be honest. And I'm not, when I watch things, and I wasn't really in, I backed Very Elegant, so I didn't really care. But I was watching it, and I'm like, I'm not much of a steward. Sometimes I'm just like, there's nothing in that. But you jump onto Twitter or something, and everyone is saying, upheld. And then they take like fucking half an hour to do it. And I'm just laughing, because when you're watching Channel 7, they just stayed with that coverage. So they gave no coverage to the next race, which was the Invitation, where Volandis would have just been spewing, because he's like, give me some wagering time, give me all this stuff, we want big lead in, and they just stayed with it. But fuck, it was bizarre. It would have been good to be able to get in the stewards room and listen to them, like, argue, because we all know Craig Williams can just talk underwater. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
I thought it was the right decision in the end, to be honest.
You happy with it?
Happy with it. I wasn't on either of the first two, so
yeah,
didn't matter to me.
Well, I like how bullish you were and how confident throwing your dick around about Dosh. So we were talking, I think we were like, load up on the 290, load up with 290, and then we're talking, and you're like, yeah, I'm going again. It was 390, out to 450, ended up jumping about 6 or 7. Wasn't right? I should have been scratched.
Well, a horse that blows that much in the betting and then gets pulled up 11 lengths at the end of the field when it's literally taken Sabato XL September run, didn't even get past it in the race before, I reckon it's probably fair to say something wasn't right.
Yeah.
But you learn from that, I guess. You can't beat the bookies. I reckon that's something. I think I sent that to a few mates I tipped it to. Like, at the end of the day, when it drifts like that and a horse like Generation gets back into 210, like, you just can't outsmart bookmakers at the end of the day. So sometimes you just got to take your medicine a bit.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Obviously, the other race where Buffalo River got scratched and then Elephant fucking went down as well, Just Folk won. And the Forgot You race, your one tip of the day. So between us, I think we were one from 20, which is fantastic. We're flying.
Good going.
Really, really good ride. Don't know anything about it, but it was Commander Harry. So Lena Meach was on it, 100-1. Just lost to Forgot You by like 0.2 of a length. That was huge for a fucking 100-1 horse.
Massive. And obviously, we'll touch on it later with the Derby. Forgot You, he's just got that weird flat spot, doesn't he? Yeah. Like between the sort of 5 and 400 where he doesn't get going. He's almost asleep. But yeah, no, it was a bloody ripper ride. He obviously knows that horse pretty well if he was trying to get it going as early as he did. So if he didn't, it wouldn't have won.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a tough day. I was just finding excuses. Crook. And you know what? You just kept going. You're like, no, so we'll load up on fucking Elephant. No, we won't. We'll load up on this. No, we won't. Anyway, obviously,
I pretty rarely find myself betting at Cannington late at night on a Saturday. Like, I've usually sort of done
done your dosh.
I always think if I've done enough research and stuff, I should just focus on the things that I've done the work on. But I could genuinely tell you there were bonus bets getting thrown on box 8 dogs at Cannington about 9:14.
Yeah, same race multis.
Yeah, absolutely. So
there's nothing worse when you do that. Like, and you're either supposed to be sitting on the lounge, like watching a bit of Netflix with the miso, and you accidentally turn the race on, the volume's up, you get fucking stung. I've been stung in the corner of the couch a couple of times, or you go to the loo, just go to the loo, and then you hear the volume go up, man.
It's the big.
To say that hasn't happened to me would be a fucking huge lie. Obviously, this weekend is Derby Day and stuff, and that's pretty pretty big day in your calendar, mate. You like it?
Yeah, this is the best day of the year for sure. It's grand final day, isn't it? All the sort of lead up races are done, and
all the big group ones.
Just 4 or 5 group ones, and you got 3 or 4 group twos and a group three. I think that's the day at Flemington. And then even the Sydney card, like, I know we talk about Melbourne racing, but the Rose Hill card's becoming pretty quickly a good meeting as well with the Golden Eagle and the Classique Legend. So
Classique Legend's got 6 of the Everest horses in it, and obviously the Eagle, Volandi's just waxed in 7.5 million, and we're getting a couple of the big 4-year-olds or whatever they are.
Yeah, I think they've got to have a bit of a chat about this Classique Legend stakes, though. Like, they've got the BRC Sprint and the Manicato all around it. Like, I think it's just...
Well, it just keeps changing. What was it last year? Yes, stakes or whatever.
Yeah, I think they're just calling it whatever the previous...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was. It was just red cell for two years.
Yeah, so, no, it's exciting. I absolutely love Derby Day. The best horses are usually primed and ready to go.
And all your mates getting... do you guys do like a big punters club or something on a Saturday?
Yeah, we get together. It's sort of a bit of a tradition for Derby Day. And my last name's Aino, so we call it Darbano Day.
Nice.
Which is a little bit of a play on words there, mate, not just a pretty face. So we just get together and we sort of throw a few tipping pools together, and then we play a couple of games ourselves and just sort of be degenerates for the day.
Well, this is where Paps has to, pull his fucking shirt off and get involved and actually tip some winners instead of asking for them all the time. But, I'll tell you one thing, because obviously I do work for Tab, but I also used to, another life used to be a school teacher, which you're studying. I went and did a day's casual, which I sometimes do on a Wednesday. And I did that all during lockdown because no kids would show up. I was just getting paid to just turn up. It was fantastic. Anyway, went yesterday and took it. Well, walked in, had to teach French. Couldn't say even, I know bonjour, that's it. Then took year 10 science, which, fuck, I dropped all forms of science in year 10. Anyway, the boys, some of the kids were like, sir, I'm like, fuck, go sit down, I'll talk to you in a sec. I went and spoke to them, and they're like, I saw you on the live. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, Instagram live. I'm like, oh, God. They're like, yeah, we all follow Pappenhausen, and you were on live with that other guy, and you're watching that horse race. I'm like, can you shut up? They're like, yeah, you like all screaming about some horse. I'm like, oh my God, can you just give a rest? I'll talk to you at lunchtime or something. So I didn't even, you don't even think twice. Like, when you think of someone of his follower account or whatever, how many people and kids follow him, and then all of a sudden they see their teacher on there, like, barracking a horse. So very responsible.
you, You literally live two lives, mate. You've got the
the
tab life, and then you got to teach kids how to read and write.
Yeah, correct. Anyway, that was funny. But we got Flemington, obviously, it's Derby Day. We have the Cup on Tuesday. We may even do, I think we did one last year. I think Mitch came on as well last year, and we did a Cup preview. So we'll maybe do that. Sunday or Monday or something, whatever. But we got Flemington Derby Day, 9 races this time, which is good. We can't lose 10. We kick off with Carbine Stakes, though, in race number 1. Fangirl, J-Mac and Chris Waller, pretty good combo. Already into 240. It's had like 4 starts with a couple of wins. Pre-to-turn, Mr. Higgins is on there at 370. It's been backed. Brigantine. This is Godolphin. Opened 8 bucks. It's already into 5. It's obviously had a couple of runs in Sydney, so it gets down to Melbourne. Then you've got Daily Bugle out at double figures and a bunch of others that are kind of on the drift. But good money for this Brigantine, Cummings.
Yeah, the market's spot on for this race. I think there's only 3 horses that can win it. Brigantine obviously coming out behind Halal as well. So he's sort of franked that's a nice form reference. He's come out and run really well. I know that Tab were taking a fair few bets on him for the weekend. So I can understand why there's a bit of money. 2 lengths behind Halal looks pretty good form. I really like Fangirl. I think progressive horse, when you've got a horse that's only had 4 starts and you bring it down to Melbourne on Derby Day, probably says that he's got a fair opinion and gets J-Mac as well. So I think probably pretty well found at 240, but I would have thought it'd probably get out. You might be able to get sort of $3 on the day. I do like Fangirl in the first.
Yeah, I can't see it getting out to $3 unless just huge money comes for Brigantine or something. But, yeah, I think people will stick around. They see J-Mac, they see Waller, they see Fangirl winning 2 on the trot. What do you do?
True.
Race number 2 is the Hotham. 260 for Great House. 260, yeah. So Mankayan at 360. This thing, King's Charisma for the Eustace, $17 already into 650. So Jai McNeil obviously riding really well. Fucking getting smashed. Lee, whatever. Number 3, Damien Oliver and Friedman. That's $10. We're going out double figures the rest. We even got Fun Fact there. Rachel King's in Melbourne. But what's the go, mate? King's Charisma, Jai McNeil.
Yeah, well, I suppose the thing is that it's coming out of the same race as Mankayan and was just as good a run. If you go back and actually watch the race, it was actually probably a better run than Mankayan, and they get the same weight in this race. So I can see why $17, they mucked that up, but certainly wouldn't be jumping into 650.
I think we meant 7.
What was that?
I think we probably meant to say 7 when we went up.
Yes.
It's happened before.
Great House is... This looks as obvious as any race on the card sort of thing to me. I couldn't have Mankayan or King's Charisma against a horse like Great House, who's finishing within a length or two of Montefilia and then coming out and obviously running in not too bad of a race, running 5th in a Caulfield Cup. So this looks a pretty obvious one. La Donde V wasn't a bad run in the Geelong Cup as well, but sort of peaked at the end of 2400. So
yeah.
I don't think that stepping up to 25 is going to be any help. I think Great House probably goes back to back for Waller in the first 2.
You give any love to Mirage Dancer?
I hate that horse. I can't.
That's a no.
We talk about non-winners on this show. What's it won? 1 race since it's come to Australia?
Yeah, it hasn't won for a long time.
So, nah.
All right, no double J-Mac, double Waller. All right, race 3 is the Wakeful and El Patroness. $6 already in the 370, so being backed, obviously Brett Preble is flying. Danny O'Brien is fucking flying for someone who's the age he is. Daisies, J-Mac is riding for Mick Price at 480. Barb Raider is 5. Yearning obviously had a pretty good win a couple weeks back at Caulfield. Pretty good odds too, I think we both had. Kapalua Sunset. Hey, talk to me, Damien Oliver, Danny O'Brien, and then we go out double figs again. But money for this fave for Danny O'Brien.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Kapalua Sunset. I'm not going to fall off because I have to. I have to stick. And we get rid of Preble, who absolutely butchered the ride, and we get Ollie on. So she pretty much has to win this race, I think, if she wants an Oaks start, or at least has to run well. I think $10 looks a really good bet. You can completely forgive her last start.
Yep,
she was in behind and then got shuffled back to last and then had to make a massive loop around them. I think she actually got pretty much shit herself when she got trampled on by a few horses. And fair enough, too, when you're only having your second or third start. I'd probably shit myself too. So Kapalua Sunset for me, for sure. I think $10 is a good price. I think she'll be going pretty close.
Beautiful. Love that. Double figure tip. No, race number four, over 1,200, Oxley Road. Something we had last start too, which got me home in a bunch of stuff too, where it beat Malkovich. Favorite for Peter Moody, 320. Kemal Passer for Craig Williams, 340 on the drift. Brooklyn Hustler at fives, instant celebrity on the drift as well. Then you got a bunch of Godolphin runners. You got Pandemic, we got Kementari, and we got Desorian, and my old mate, Just a Cantor, at 17s. But look, on paper, I'm looking at Oxley Road.
Yeah, actually a pretty tough little race, to be honest, because even like I'm completely happy to let Brooklyn Hustler win without me, but she could win a race like this, and seem the money that's come for this horse in her two starts has been absolutely outrageous. So she's obviously flying at home. Happy to see her win if she wins, but not going to be there. I'm going to back two. I think Oxley Road looks like it's going to be a really, really good horse. And I think we said on the podcast a week or two ago that they would find a good race for this horse, and this looks like a really good race for it. So Oxley Road with 53. And then the one I don't mind at $11 is Pandemic. So
really?
0.8. Yeah, well, it took ground off Lombardo, who's come out and run fourth in a Manicato, and was considered the second line of betting in that race. And I thought Pandemic was actually stronger than Lombardo in that race. Had 55 or 56 in there, gets 53 here. I thought it seemed over the odds, to be honest.
Okay. Pandemic. All right, race number five, we got the Empire Rose. We kick it off, big race. So Tafane has already been backed from $4 into $3.50. You got Mystic Journey there at $5.50. Colette coming off the big win. Flying Mascot, still a little bit of money, still a star. Even Hungry Heart's going around for Waller. It's fucking drew a big win, that horse. Amaralina for J-Mac. You don't see J-Mac on a $17 horse too much. And we got Cirilio Miss, which we've been on before. Mirror Vision, they're all there as well, even Sierra Sue. But Tafane, there's been a lot of chat about that.
Yeah, doesn't this just make the invitation look like a shit race, though? all the girls have gone down here, basically, for this, the Empire Rose. Tafane's run in the Toorak was pretty ridiculous, really, with 58. I didn't give her a chance at all. And then what gets back to, is it set weights and penalties or a weight for age race? It must be set weights. So Tafane, $3.50, probably pretty well found, but I can see why it's favourite. I actually like Mystic Journey. I thought her run behind Still a Star was really, really good, probably the best run of the race. I think stepping up to 1,600 metres, this horse is back to where she was when she won this race a year or two ago. So I'm happy with Mystic Journey. I think it's a nice price, $5.50 as well.
Mystic Journey. God, I could tell you I've never backed it before, ever.
You're going to change that this weekend. Yeah, I think I backed it one day in a multi when it might have been 210 in this race or a different race at Flemington, but it was over 1,600 at Flemington. I can't remember which one it was. $2.10. I have a screenshot of the of the win on my phone somewhere. I think I deleted it a couple of weeks ago because I needed some iPhone storage. But yeah.
Cool. iPhone storage. You got too many videos in there, mate. I like it.
Enough dribble there for you.
All right, race number six. First leg of the quaddie. It's obviously the Victoria Derby. 2,500 metres of the best. Gunstock is going around. We didn't give it a hope last start, and look at what it did. Came out and won pretty well, beating El Patroness. Forgot You, coming off a big win on the drift, though. 350 out to 440. Hitotsu is 650 for Johnny Allen. Tutakaka, 850. Had a little bit of backing. Allegron, my horse. Brett Preble and Cummings, $9 into $9.50. Jungle Magnate. There's been a lot of yarns about this horse as well. I've seen heaps of stats about it. There's been a lot of chat about it. Do you give it anything? Jungle Magnate?
Well, made up a lot of ground in that Forgot You race at the Valley, 26 into 17. I always hate the Derby. I always find it really, really difficult. If you actually go back and have a look at the previous Derby winners, not a lot of them come out and end up doing anything else. So I always find it a bit of a prick of a race. Oh, fucking Gunstock. Didn't he just absolutely make us feel crook?
When you bag
a horse that much, they usually do come out and win, especially if they're in the market. Going to play Tutakaka in the race, though. I was on at Geelong. It was a really fast tempo, and that was over 2,200. So like the way it hit the line, and then love the fact that it's actually raced over 2,200 meters. So going up to 2,500, it looked like it'll relish that as well. So I think $8.50 looks a pretty good price. J-Mac aboard as well. So Tutukaka for me, and wouldn't be surprised if the top two run both a really good racing. Gunstock and Forgot You.
Cool. So you're giving nothing to Allegra or Jungle Magnate. Beautiful. Love that. Fantastic. I was waiting for a bit of a push, like, and you just completely just went away with it.
Well, you own fucking Allegra, so if you want to give it a push, you can give it your push.
Oh, please. Look, I think I'll just have to be on after I was on the other times, but. We go to the Coolmore Stud in the Congo. He's the fave. 550 into 420, Williams and Bott. Extreme Warrior. See, I'm pretty bullish on this. John McNeil and Mick Price. I think this is a great bet. Polelli, still pissed off it didn't run last week at $7. Artorias is 9. Home Affairs is going round 11. And Callus, which took the piss last start, which is $11. You even got ingratiating there as well in the 20s. But who are you with?
Well, we can call it the Nick and Zach special, can we? The Extreme Warrior Train.
Get oh, you on. Like it?
Yeah, I really, really like it. It's win, knocking off Profiteer by 3 or 4 lengths has come out, and that's race and time rated really highly. In the Congos, obviously, when you look at the form, you go, oh, yeah, 0.2, Speed Animo, Golden Rose. It comes back to 1,200 metres, which also suits, so I can understand the $4, but that day at Beat Animo, the rail was lightning hot. Things weren't making any ground up. Like, Animo wins that race on an even track. And I just like the way that Extreme Warrior is sort of progressing. So I think $4.40 is good enough. It'll probably stick around that price. I can't imagine. Usually in the Coolmore, they don't really come for it. The way the market's usually set is the way that it stays. But yeah, must be the Nick and Zach bet of the day. Let's go with that.
I do like that. All right, Extreme Warrior in the Coolmore. Then we go to the Cantala. Mr. Brightside is favourite. This is $4.40. We go to Arameo, which is 10 into 8s. Arameo, look, had a really good run that where it came second and I was on, and fuck, when it just lost to Private Eye, that hurts. Then we go to 8.50. We got Riadini. This is something I told you to back a little while ago when one particular bookmaker was wrong and they were still up at the big price. I think I'm on it. 26 or 31, that's $9. Superstorm, Ice Bath, Cascadian. But firstly, before you say anything, you bagged Riadini and said it's got no hope. You still agree?
Yeah. Well, when you look at 51.5 kilos in an Epsom and fails, runs 5 lengths, 11th, goes to 55 in a Cantala. I just don't know how you could have it. But anyway, I don't. Yeah. Nah, not for me.
Really? Yeah.
But probably comes out and wins now, especially when I really liked its chance in an Epsom, but I thought that was the perfect conditions for it to run a good race, and now it goes up 3.5 kilos on that run. So
I think we were happy at least with the George Main win, right? Or George Main place.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You just got to be, we're always careful when, but I know it's actually had a trial between runs as well. So,
it has.
And the fact that it's 15s into 9s, so maybe it's going better than I think. I like Arameo and Shayu. Arameo, you can't. How could you knock its run?
Huge run.
Epsom. Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Alicia Collett too. Alicia Collett's doing really well.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can you bag that run? Had 51.5 in that race and then goes to 53.5 in this. So it doesn't really cop much of a penalty. And then Shayu is the other one. Interesting that you've got a mare coming into the Cantala rather than the Empire Rose. So they've obviously got a pretty good opinion of her. Gets in with 52. I thought her win over 1,300 at Sandown was outstanding coming from the back of the field. And that was over the 1,300 and gets 16 now. So this looks like a real target race. So going to play those two at both at around $8-$9.
I'd like to see Arameo in. You got Bossy aboard too. Obviously, Bossy's made the call to be down in Melbourne. He was given a heap of shit to that Johnny Get Angry and Dennis Pagan today, which was pretty... Do you see that?
And you know what, mate? Like, fair enough, I reckon.
I'm with him.
What right do you have to come and tell someone that won a derby that you can't enter a Melbourne Cup? That's someone like Dennis Pagan has... Like, what a story. How do you go from being a gun AFL coach to having Johnny Get Angry win a Vic Derby and then to say that it ran 10th in the Cup the next year? Like,
leave
him alone.
So Bossy said he shouldn't be there. He's going to attract no turnover, no money. He's simply going to be there, do nothing for the race apart from being a speed bump. So It's Johnny Get Angry's position in the cup field has come under fire after being beaten a combined margin of 48 lengths in its last two starts.
But then the thing I really liked that Dennis did is he came out and he basically told Bossy to get fucked.
Yeah, in the nicest way possible.
Also, exactly right. And then he's also come out and said that he wasn't going to run him in the cup, but he had Damien Oliver had a track gallop on him and said you'd be mad not to run him. So
yeah. He said something like once a big mouth, always a big mouth or something about I'm not interested in what Glenn Boss is saying. I'm only interested in my own horse. Once a big mouth, always a big mouth. So that's his way of saying shut the fuck up. But
I really hope it comes out and runs a really good race.
Yeah, at least runs a place or something. Be good. We finished the day with Furphy Sprint, 1,100 metres, and you can have every piece of September run. I am not going near it, but it's been back to just a touch, just coming a point. Minaj is there, J-Mac and John O'Shea at 550, Ballistic Lover at 8, Maleva, your horse, bless her, is at 11s, and we go out to a bit of odds. One thing that I got told today, bizarrely, is to back one diva. Brett Preble, Richard and Michael Friedman, it's $26. I know, but it was one of the random tips that I got today. So I had a little piece on one diva, but surely September run cannot win.
Well, the only thing that I will say is that it is a track and distance that you're happy to actually back her at. They finally decided, okay, we're not going to go around a bend anymore. We fucked that up. They find a good race for her. On Derby Day up the straight. So if you like her and you've been backing her all campaign, then you have to back her this start because you've missed out at the Valley in Caulfield. If you fall off now, you're an idiot. So she's not my top pick, but I can't lose if she wins. I like Ballistic Lover, actually.
The Joe Pride
pretty,
thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure in that Manicato. Profiteer went up beside her and... I actually thought there was a lot of merit in the run to keep going and run fourth and then come out and win a trial by five or six lengths as well in between runs just says that this horse is going pretty well. So Ballistic Lover on top for me. And one that I didn't mind at a little bit of odds, and I thought Rainville could probably find the front in this race too, maybe outside of Ballistic Lover. And Linda Meach is such a good jockey on front running horses.
She's the Tim Clark of Melbourne, right?
Absolutely. Comes through sort of Lombardo form and then came out and won a fillies and mares listed race at Geelong on Geelong Cup Day. Yeah. So
I think the third place at Moonee Valley that she did behind Lombardo was fantastic.
Absolutely. So I think gets a little bit of a chance. Obviously 21's into 12, so we've missed the price a little bit, but happy to play Ballistic Lover and then maybe something on Rainville as well.
Juan Diva? Anything?
Yeah, I actually got a similar tip for Juan Diva as well. Look, it'll be exciting if it did win. Maybe if I've got a $20 bonus bet at the end of the day, it can go on.
A $20 bonus bet. Fantastic. Sounds good. All right, well, we've only got 9 races. I like that. I like a bit of a sprint at the end of the day at Flemington to just, you know, either make your day or end it. But what are we thinking? What's our best? Are we going with the one we both agree on?
Let's do it. We'll go to the Max and Nick special Extreme Warrior. And then hopefully on Monday, I'm throwing your name in there. You're in there as well. And then on Monday, we'll be able to celebrate together on our Melbourne Cups podcast.
And then we just roll it over, do we? Put it all into the cup.
We roll it into Incentivise, do we?
Oh, fuck. Are you going with Incentivise?
Oh, I'm interested to see what you think. Look. Yeah, probably.
I haven't had a proper look, to be fair. I haven't really had a good look, which is I'll probably have to do Sunday or something. But yeah, Incentivise taking the piss. We'll probably jump the second shortest of all time behind Firelap, which is nearly 100 years or something. So
yeah,
it's going to be bloody interesting. All right, so just the one. Anything you want to have a little crack at or give an extra little push to for Saturday?
There's a couple I didn't mind at odds. I think... Kapalua Sunset.
Yeah, I was about to say Kapalua.
Just seriously don't fall off because it wasn't... You just got to completely disregard what it did last time and he wouldn't be running it if it wasn't going okay. Like, to run it in a wakeful 2 weeks after such a poor sort of race and the way that it all turned out, I think the fact that you get 10 bucks when she was $1.90, 2 bucks that day, she's definitely over the odds at 10s.
Yeah, had a bet at Sydney? Anything you like in the Eagle or anything like that?
I'm Thunderstruck. I think I'm Thunderstruck wins the Golden Eagle. Yeah. that form reference coming through.
I think it's quite a good race. There's quite a few there. Yeah. Private Eye is a big chance. Apache Chase is nearly halved its quote.
And I think all three winners of the Golden Eagle have come through the Epsom, haven't they? I think Colding, Colette ran sticks in the Epsom, and I can't remember what was the other one.
Yeah, there's a weird little thing about the Epsom A with this. So, because it's obviously only in its third year. So I think Colding won an Epsom, Colette came like sixth, Private Eye won an Epsom, even that a Tissue at Odds ran sixth in an Epsom.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think they're probably the best two horses. Like Canter Rupee was actually the one at a little bit of odds that in mine. It should have won that. It should have won the Silver Eagle. I was on it that day and nearly threw my phone at the TV.
I think we
a massive check.
A few of us took like big odds on Laws of Indices, the overseas one of Tommy Berry and Annabelle, and then it drew 19. So pretty brutal that it went open 11 out to 21. But anyway, still on it over 21, more than 21. But yeah, fuck, that hurt.
Yeah, well, that does hurt. The one I'm interested to ask you about really quickly, Classique Legend Stakes. Like,
yeah, okay.
What do you think?
Well, look, people bag in the race, right? But I'm all for it. Like, you're getting six Everest horses in here. So, look, Masked Crusader, $3. You got Eduardo going around. Big Parade has been up and down in the market all day. Lost and Running, which ran pretty well. People bagged that horse leading into the Everest, and it ran fourth. It beat Classique Legend. So, and G-Trar is there. We don't know what's going on with Trekking. Standout, obviously Libertini's. They're all there. It's a sick race. So, obviously with Masked Crusader, if it properly doesn't fuck up the start, like it monumentally every single day and then like just loses, if it misses the start, maybe just a little bit less than what it normally does, it wins. But then you've got these runners, like, so Eduardo's going to be fucking pushing up. So it's Big Parade, right? So that's going to be a bit of a battle. But mate, I'm a bit stumped. I think I just back Tommy Berry and just hope for the best.
Yeah, it's going to be a ripper race. I'm keen to see. Big Parade's the one on the up as well. Like, you don't know how good that horse could be.
It's a good win on Everest Day.
Oh, wasn't it? It probably should have run in the Everest based on that. So it'll be in there next year. But yeah, I'm bloody excited about the weekend. It feels like Christmas Eve, mate.
All right, mate. Well, thank you. Hopefully you can go a bit better than last week. So I think we only need one or two to beat last week.
But wouldn't be fucking hard.
Well, it's hard. We go from the week before where we tip half the card and then we go from to nothing. So obviously we're going A, B, A, B, A, B. We're due for a fill-up. So fingers crossed. Thanks for joining me, mate.
Thank you, brother. I'll chat to you. Good luck.